All right, boys, are you ready for history to be made?
Sure.
Now, I know Junior is a huge Star Trek fan. You were a Trekkie, as they call it, I guess, right?
He used to go to conventions and everything.
Yep, all the way.
So we got the opportunity yesterday to interview William Shatner. The problem is, he was being kind of a jerk and wouldn't do it on our schedule. No, so I had to come back up here and interview him. You guys couldn't make it to the interview, which I hate because I would love for Junior to be able to talk to James Tiberius Kirk.
Me too.
We've had him on before, haven't we?
No.
No, this was the holy grail.
Yeah. I swore we did.
12 years I've tried.
That's a good question. We need to come up with our short list of holy grail people that we haven't talked to yet.
Yeah, we should. And would stick Fernando on those people.
Would he have made your top 10, Junior?
I think so. I'd have to think about that. But I know he's up there.
So I had a chance to interview him, and so I took it. We sat down for a good 12 minutes. It was over the phone. He was sitting down, I'm assuming. I learned a few things in this interview. The main thing I learned, don't ask any questions about Adam West.
Why would you ask a question about Adam West?
First of all, I don't know why I asked a question about Adam West, and he seemed very confused by why I'm asking about Adam West. So that's a very strange moment. And also listen for the email question of the day from the P1s. That's an exciting moment. Now, I'm going to leave the first part of this on here as his assistant is setting up the interview, right? She's going to get him on the line. So you get a little feel of the behind the scenes.
See, I fear this.
Why?
Because I worship William Shatner.
Nah, you worship
Gordon
him too.
Gordon doesn't.
And I feel like you are going to disrespect him and mock him and make fun of him.
Why?
That's a safe bet.
No, come on. That's not true at all.
And I think he should have been treated with the utmost respect that is usually afforded a Starfleet admiral.
And I afforded him the Starfleet admiral type respect. Okay, so he's coming on the ticket to promote his appearance, which is tomorrow night at the Majestic. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Just type in William Shatner and Majestic.
He's got a band now he's playing?
Well, I asked him about that. Okay. You're going to find out about it. So here, hit the fanfare, Expo. Here is my exclusive interview with William Shatner on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
This is Kathleen. I'm calling from William Shatner's office. Is Bill going to be speaking with just you, Gordon?
It will be just me.
Just you. Okay, brilliant.
Okay.
I've got to actually link him in from a remote site, so can I put you on hold? He will be on a landline, so you guys should be good to go for sound.
Yes, ma'am. That sounds good.
Okay, Gordon. Thanks so much. Hold on. Gordon?
Yes, ma'am.
I have Mr. Shatner on the line.
Excellent.
Gordon.
Yes, Mr. Shatner, how are you?
Bill Shatner, how are you?
I'm doing well. Are you ready to do this, make some radio magic?
Anticipatory.
All right, well, we'll give it a shot here. Gordon Keith here with the icon himself, William Shatner. Mr. Shatner, welcome.
How are you? I'm so glad to be with you and talking to your audience in Dallas.
Yeah, I can sense the excitement in your voice. It really is palpable that you are excited to talk to the Lone Star State. But I want to ask you, first of all, do I call you Mr. Shatner, William, Bill, Billy, the Shatman?
Let's put this on a really friendly basis. Call me Bill.
Bill, okay. It's just so intimidating even to hear your voice as I'm speaking to you.
I'm sorry. Wait till I meet you.
My heart is leaping out of my chest, and my ovaries have drawn further up into my body.
I hope I don't disappoint you.
No. All right, now tell us about the show you got at the Majestic. This is pretty interesting. It's a one-man show, and it's on Thursday night here in Dallas.
That's right. Well, I'm coming into town, and, you know, talk about intimidating. A one-man show is intimidating. I'm there in front of an audience for 2 hours. I did a limited run on Broadway, and we got remarkable reviews and remarkable crowds and standing ovations and things. The show has been extraordinarily well received. It's an interesting evening in the theater, and I was fashioning it along the lines of my life, but what I think, what I believe, trying to make you laugh at the same time. It's very ambitious. I don't think you can do anything more ambitious in the theater than do a one-man show that has a purpose to it. And from everything I can gather, I seem to have achieved it. And on Thursday night, the audience in Dallas should come to the Majestic Theater and see something, if not unique, certainly unusual.
So is it just you as a raconteur, or are you doing, like, balloon animals or circus tricks or banjo playing, or is it just...
I'd love to have had that, dancing girls and timpanis. No, it's me in some film on occasion, but, for example, I talk about horses and my love of horses, accidents I've had with the horses, things that happened, the death of a beloved horse and how it happened, an accident that I had on a horse that gave me inspiration on how to play a very specific scene in Star Trek. I mean, I mix the subjects that I love, like horses, with subjects like Star Trek in a way that is totally unexpected, and you wouldn't think of it at first glance, but hearing me say it brings you into my world, and up until now, and hopefully on Thursday, it will be successful enough so that people will be glad to have come and had a fascinating experience.
Do you start the show by saying, "Set your phasers to laugh"?
Well, not quite, but I start the show.
Because that's probably a bad idea.
Inferring something like that. I can't tell it to you over the air because for two reasons. One is you'd have to bleep it out, and the other is it would destroy the laugh.
Fair enough. Now, when you say you had an accident on a horse, this is not like messing your drawers or anything. You mean like being thrown or something like that?
Yeah, reared up and almost killed. Oh. I compete at a very high level in three breeds of horses. Quarter horses, American saddlebreds, and standardbreds. Yes, I've had many accidents. I've been thrown many times. But in one particular accident, it could have been fatal and just turned out not to be. But the lesson I learned as a result of the accident applied on some other subject.
What's interesting to me is that on the day of your performance here in Dallas, I believe you turn 81 years of age.
I know. It's almost obscene to hear that number. I can't believe it. We're going to celebrate my birthday that evening, and that's another thing people in Dallas can do is come to the theater and celebrate my birthday with me. We'll all have a lot of fun, I promise.
You're going to have cake and things like that?
Well, I'll have the cake. You guys can watch me eat it.
81 years of age. Did you ever imagine that you would be this old and still be working?
I never imagined any of it. It in the furthest reaches of my imagination, I thought 35. Gosh, that's old. To have reached this age and still be talking to you with some vigor is a miracle.
Now, old guys like me know you as Captain James T. Kirk, but you get young people that run up to you all the time and say, "Hey, T.J. Hooker."
It's amazing the demographics that they've discovered. Well, I knew it long ago, but in doing this show and where to aim the publicity to get people to come to the theater, they discovered that my range is from children of 6 and 7 to people of 60 and 70, and in between are young men who are holding me up as a model, and it ranges from the total spectrum of humanity. It's amazing the number and the variety of people that come up to say hello.
Well, you're a model to all men, and as we look at you at the age of 81, please tell me that the libido is still there, that you are a fully functioning man, and that I have that to look forward to.
It surges, my friend. It surges.
Now, for years, Adam West hated being defined iconically as Batman, but you seem to have escaped the gravity of Captain Kirk by being Denny Crane and, I guess, the Priceline guy.
And your question is what?
That you are somehow much more relevant than Adam West, and he had that iconic role.
Adam West?
Yeah.
I can't answer that because I don't know Adam very well. And I don't know our relative relevancy, but he is a nice guy, and I don't know him very well. I don't know how else to answer your question.
Well, then let's ease away from
of my show. my show is extraordinarily relevant in terms of the universals of how we live, and I talk about life and death, and how we respond to it, and how there need not be death if there's love present, and how that works. I deal with music. I talk a great deal about music. I talk, as I said, about horses. I talk about the nature of comedy. So you can see I span many subjects. When I talk about love, I tell stories about the different kinds of love that I have experienced over the years. Children's love and love of a guy who started to hate me because I thought differently than he. And that kind of thing is both intellectually stimulating and very funny. You're going to laugh your head off from beginning to end.
George Takei, Captain Sulu, he came out as, you know, a triple gay man. Did you guys know that he was triple gay when you were doing the show?
What I found both sad and amusing is that he waited until he was 70 years old to be able to say, here's who I am, like it or leave it. At the end of his life, only then was he able to sort of accept himself, and I find that touchingly sad.
Now, is there any project, Bill, that you still have in the hopper that you want to get to, like a one-man show art exhibit or like a David Blaine-like stunt?
But I'm working on all kinds of things. I've discovered mythology and its place in Star Trek conventions and conventions of that kind. I've made a documentary on it called Fanatics. I'm in the process of editing it. But mythology, Joseph Campbell's mythology, applicable to our lives. It's a whole other area that I'm making documentaries that I'm so excited about doing. And I did one called The Captains, and it's been making the rounds, very successful, and winning all kinds of awards.
Now, Joseph Campbell, you know, I think one of the last interviews he did was at the Skywalker Ranch with George Lucas and Bill Moyers talking about myths and mythology. George Lucas is...
And that's what I've done with the guy who heads up his school right now. The heir to Joseph Campbell's teachings is the gentleman I interviewed for a couple of hours.
Jonah Hill?
Robert Walsh, but... I can't think of his last name.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Now, I want to run this by you, Bill, because you were born in Montreal.
Yes.
And I just traveled there for the first time, and I had something that you Canadians called smoked meat at Schwartz's Deli. And I know that everyone says it's great, but to me, it was a gastronomic disaster.
Where?
At Schwartz's Deli in Montreal.
Oh, Schwartz's Deli was a gastronomic
disaster? Yeah.
That's impossible. You know what's going to happen? You're going to receive... volumes of pastrami for the next 5 years.
I know. Hey, I'm willing to accept that as my curse. I'm comparing it to Texas barbecue, and it just doesn't compare.
No. You can't compare Texas barbecue to anything.
We like to do a thing where we draw an email. We have an email question of the day out of the hopper for our special guest, and
good.
We print them out, throw them in a box, and choose one at random. So
good.
We're going to do that now.
Oh, no.
All right, as we mix them up here.
Here comes the hang-up.
All right, email question of the day comes to us from Rebecca in Fort Worth. She writes, Mr. Shatner, what is your favorite disability?
What's my favorite what?
Disability.
What are you doing?
Disability?
Yes.
Is that what you said, disability?
Yes.
My favorite disability is my inability to eat enough Texas barbecue.
Fair enough. I'd take that disability any day. Thank you, Bill. I sure do appreciate it, and it's great meeting an icon such as yourself.
I look forward to seeing you, Stowe.
Okay, appreciate it.
You take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay, God bless. Stay hard. All right, that's Bill Shatner here on The Ticket. Bill? Bill?
What are you doing?
Bill?
He said bye.
Are you there?
Bill?
I think we lost him.
There you go.
It was great until the end. Why'd you do that to him?
What?
Stupid question that shouldn't even be aired.
You know what? I sensed that he was laughing at the question. I think he was okay with it. He was puzzled by it, but I think he wasn't offended.
No, he wasn't offended.
He was just like, okay, how do I get out of this stupid question? Texas barbecue.
He did a great job of answering Rebecca's question.
He did a great job answering a stupid question from you.
From a P1.
No, Blaine, that's your dumb question.
From a P1.
Outside of ruining the interview at the end, I thought you did an excellent job.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Man, I was very worried, but it turned out great.
I was very nervous. That's William Shatner.
Yeah, and man, bless him that he still has that passion to go out and do something like this. And at the age of 81, that's just incredible to me.
Okay, at your age right now, can you imagine doing an evening at the Majestic?
No. Not capable of something like that.
Yeah, it was interesting. Good. So any P1 who wants to go see him, it's tomorrow night at the Majestic.
I'm thinking about going now.
You ought to, being the big
Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah.
Don't you, Junior?
I don't know if I want to go through Ticketmaster. Maybe I'd get a freebie since I'm on the radio.
Oh, my gosh.
Go buy. Support your idol.
Well, you know what? I mean, I did the interview. I should be getting the freebie.
Why don't we go? You guys all want to go?
I mean, I plugged his damn show.
I love him. He's so great.
All right, we need a P1 to make a poster board sign that says, what's your favorite disability, and hold it up in the front row.
No, don't do that. It's a dumb question. It's not funny. Don't
Man,
do
he's had a long career.
Why did the Adam West thing have to stop everything down?
Hey, you know what I meant to tell you to do was to get him going on Star Trek versus Star Wars, because I know you're a big Star Wars guy.
Yeah.
He loves getting into that whole mess.
Does he?
Yeah, because he's big on Star Trek was first. And Star Wars copied Star Trek and all this stuff, and he's very passionate about that.
Mm-hmm. I just as long as you avoid asking him about horses, because he'll shoehorn that in there enough.
He loves horses.
Yeah, he's a big horse guy. So there you go, exclusive with William Shatner. Hey. I call him Bill.
Good stuff. Thank you, Gordo. Thank you, Gordo.